Hey, this is John Bokenkamp, one of the writers of episode 520, Nicholas T. Moore, and you are listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
If we get too tinfoil hat this week, Aaron, I know a good psychiatric facility we can have people check into. Welcome to the award-winning Blacklist Exposed. I am Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I am Agent Aaron Peterson, and sometimes we don't do things we want to do so that others won't know we want to do them. Bonus points if you know what that's from. Thanks for joining us once again as we discuss number 110 on the Blacklist, Nicholas T. Moore, written by John Bokenkamp and Lucas Ryder, and directed by Slovan Slick Name. Really? Slick? Does he go by that?
Yeah. That's his calling card, I guess.
That's awesome. I want to be called Slick.
It was in the credits. Luckily, it wasn't behind the tornado warning.
Actually, I don't want to be called Slick. I don't think that'd work for me, but hey, it works for him. Good for him. Yeah, I know a good psychiatric facility, too. One that you should probably be committed to. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found where? At theblacklistexposed.com.
All right, last week, we asked all of you in our profiling question of the week, is it time to finally clarify the relationship between Red and Liz? Was implied.
Where are we at? What percentage?
All right. 61% said yes, because then I can finally talk about something else in the Facebook group.
Like what?
Can we just make a comment on that? I mean, I did write a little post in the Facebook group. Everybody's got to just debate respectfully, please. we are not here to moderate kindergarten class.
Yeah.
Just be nice to people, please.
It's only there's a few stragglers. Everybody's great. And then there's like three people that get in there and just like, yeah. And it's like tug of war in a playground or whatever.
Yeah.
You know who you are.
I'm right.
You know,
if
you're sitting there going, I wonder if that's me, it's totally you. That's how that works.
Just be nice to people.
Except Troy. He really responds fondly to the term dum-dum. It's like a term of affection. I highly recommend everyone uses it. Dum-dum. Right.
We got t-shirts made with the hashtag and everything for Douglas. Team dum-dum. 11% said, I've already moved on. Let's see more of Red's backstory. And we had 9% said, yes.
Wait. Wouldn't that be Red's backstory? I mean,
not necessarily.
I mean, it would. What? All right. Touche. Continue.
9% said, yes, I just want really fun cases of the week. 8% said, no, I love my theory camp battles. Mm-hmm. 7% said, I thought we covered this already. And 4% said, no, because then the show would be over for me.
What?
Yeah, because even if you know the relationship, it's over. Done.
I totally do not. For me personally, it would not be over at all. No. I still enjoy the show and everything that happened. Because
I think you can do you can totally reveal it. You can say, boom, here is it definitively, not some DNA from 30 years ago. Wait.
Let's be fair. We can't say that because we don't actually know the scope of it. So it's possible that it would be so mind-blowing there's nothing that could top it. It's possible.
It is possible.
Yeah.
Or it could be a thing that sets up a whole nother season. Like, here's the reveal, and now here's a whole bunch of stories that explains why.
All right, well, now it's time for our profiling question, and I get to pick it this week, so I'm going to have fun with it. Would you want to stay a night at the Heinrichs Psychiatric Center in Concord? That's all I want to know. Yes or no? Would you want to stay there? Because I wouldn't. It's crazy. I've spent enough time there. I feel like I've been committed.
At least for another 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, roughly. Oh, yeah, I forgot Westworld. Yeah. Blacklist and Westworld. It's a lot of Troy time.
It is a lot of Troy time. And because of that, we're just going to move on because I might have to burn Aaron alive by the time this podcast is over. So let's get to this week's case profile.
All right, Nicholas T. Moore. We open with a father and daughter running through the woods. And I will tell you, dad is wearing some horn-rimmed glasses and the daughter looks like a pilgrim. So the first time I see them, I'm like, oh, they're going to show something about with Jennifer or something. I don't know what's going on. Or Jennifer escaped or something like that. No, it's not that at all. Something's chasing them.
It was
something with what?
It was kind of like that one episode where we had the guy who was going to get hacked up by the axe. And we're like, oh my gosh, that's the guy that's in the bag of bones. No, it's not.
Mm-mm. Yeah. That's all right. It was a fun episode. While running, something's chasing them, and it looks, I mean, it's shot very well because it shot slick, I would say. It looks very much like a monsters after them. Very reminiscent of another movie. Mm. I'll mention soon. I'll get there. Mm. I'll get there.
I wonder
there.
Which movie that could
be. See if you can figure it out and then pick up your dry cleaning. All right. Turns out that something is men in ventilation masks. It's not actually a monster. It's a bunch of guys that have grown up to be kooks. And Rhett is he's going to use this situation to get Liz off his back. And basically, he's using this scenario as a ruse. And he doesn't feed it to her. He just has it open.
So because of that, do we say definitively now that the blacklist doesn't actually mean anything? There's no secret code or descriptions or anything? Or do we say that this is still something that's tied to Red because it allowed him to move on with the things that are important to keeping his secret safe?
I always say, for my money, what I think is that whoever's on the blacklist is somebody that needs it. It's an end to Red's means or whatever, or means to Red's end, whatever. It's someone Red needs to be taken care of. It's someone high on Red's list. And this person was high on Red's list because he needed to distract Liz so he could get this thing done. So yeah, totally Red's.
Well, not super high. I mean, he was 110.
Right, because it was just a distraction. It's not somebody I need to kill or anything else. I need you to follow this guy. It's very important because I need you the hell out of my way.
That he did.
Yeah, that's what happened. But actually, it turns out it's a reasonable use of their time. Nicholas T. Moore, played by the warden of Shawshank Prison, no less, which housed our second favorite Red.
That's right. Nice.
I don't know if you made that connection.
Bravo. Bravo.
Bob Gunton's the actor. He's a great character actor, by the way. He's been in a ton of stuff. But he's an author who uses his own book to set up a village-like scenario. Now, if you've never seen the classic great film, The Village, I'm about to enlighten you. Don't. Because your life is better for it. It's not a good movie. But it has a really interesting twist and a cool idea behind it. It's an M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's kind of like the movie that took M. Night away from Signs and Unbreakable and put him in the movie moratorium that he was in until just the last couple of years, where he had Split and he had, what was that other one? I forgot what the name of it was. The Visit. So he's out of there and now he's making Glass. So he's back on the A-list or whatever. But Village is the movie that kind of put him in a sinkhole. Lady in the Water just buried him.
I was going to say that was Lady in the Water for me.
Yeah. Well, Village is actually a really good movie.
I enjoyed The Village.
You're mistaken.
I love the twist at the end. I never saw the twist coming.
Oh, that's the twist I hate. I just felt like, no, it's too easy. It's too, but that's my opinion. And maybe, but you did like it? Why did you like that movie?
Because of the twist at the end, because I live literally next to something that looks like that. And I'm just like, man, what if there's people out there right now? Made me think a little bit. If movie makes me think, I like it. It's good.
Well, this entire story is very much a nod to it, even to the point of monsters, because they marketed the original Village as kind of a people that are living in a small village in the middle of the woods and monsters are coming to get them. Which is kind of how this opens. So the setup was very much like that.
Yeah, they weren't there to get them. The monsters were there specifically to keep them there. Like if you went out into their territory, then they would come after you. But as long as you stayed in the confines, then you were fine. The monsters weren't like purposely attacking you.
Right. It was basically they used it as a way to keep people in line.
Right. The Olo in this case.
The Olo in this case. So it's very much, this episode is a nod to that movie. Here they live in the middle of the woods, and he has convinced the other survivors that the world was infected by a contagion. That isolation is the only way to survive. In order to beat it, you must be burned in a big old stove, Hansel and Gretel style. That's a little extreme, Bob. I'm sorry. Tom, Nicholas, whatever your name is, all your other characters are confusing me. That's a little extreme, don't you think?
Yeah, there wasn't even any candy or cake involved.
Is this one of those things where you feel like that particular character, from the perspective of the story anyway, he just had to have his own environment? He was just sick of society in general, or he was sick of being not important? Which way do you see it? Do you see it more of I'm escaping reality, or I need to elevate myself and my books aren't selling?
I think the one line that really sealed it for me was it a Rom that said it? I totally forgot to write it down, but somebody said that he was Maybe it was his wife, actually, that said he wasn't even a good author.
Right. That was his wife. Yeah.
Yeah. So with that line, it was like, okay, this is a guy who's totally going to make his book happen to make himself feel more chest puffed out and better than what he really actually is. Mm-hmm. He just needed something to make himself feel good. And that's what he decided to do, was set up his own entire world, entire concept. And because of that, I can understand where he might be coming from. If he was kind of, you know, the kid that was picked on in school and then he's not being made successful. So I get it. I never am big one on the cult aspect of it, though. I just don't get what purpose there is for him to create an entire community and keep people trapped. I would hope that it was more like, in this case, it would have been of his own free will. So the fact that he had the cult personality really kind of bugged me a little bit with this character. Well,
but that's how all cult leaders are. They just want a group of people under their control. So that fits right in line with a cult leader.
Sure. But people could, not to compare it to like Koresh or anything, but people, if they wanted to, they could have left, especially in the early days before they all got into the compound down in Waco. So,
it seemed like there were several of the older crew that were behind it. They wanted to live like this. And it was a very small community, unlike the movie The Village, where it was a lot of people. And you're like, at some points, people have to wander, right? I mean, that's a very small area. I would want to wander at some point.
You could say at some point somebody gets sick and they need to get some medicine from the towns.
Mm-hmm. I like this episode better than I like The Village by a mile. So there's that.
It's kudos. I thought kudos.
I really dug this. This makes more sense to me. I could get, if I'm in that village, I would be more afraid of contagion of a virus than I would be the mysterious monsters in the woods. I mean, it's just, they're not monsters, they're cars. So stupid. God. I'm sorry. Anyway, I could literally do a whole podcast on The Village. I really could. That was one of my most infuriating movie experiences the year that I went. The last time I saw it. Moore hires an outside contractor, which, before we get to what he does, did you find that interesting that he's got this set up in the middle of nowhere, but he knows a guy that can go snatch people, or does he keep him on the payroll, or what?
That was probably the most confusing part of the episode for me, because when I can never do it, Samar, I just want to say Saram all the time. Get him back together, please.
It'll happen. Yeah. I hope, if she lives.
If she lives. I did it again. Samar. Why take her somewhere else? What's the connection? What's the bigger play? Does Nicholas T. Moore have more than just this compound? And that's the kind of hanging chad that I was kind of thinking about. Like, why take Samar somewhere else? And where is she going? And why? That was still an open question.
That wasn't Nicholas T. Moore that took. That wasn't part of his deal.
It's the guy he hired, though.
Right, but it wasn't at his behest. It was the guy saying, "I got this. She's my capture. It has nothing to do with you." And he was going off to do his own thing. So they're not connected.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So let's move on. So this contractor, this random guy that Moore hires, snatches Maybelle, and he also gets Samar, which is funny. So like we just talked about, he does get the opportunity where they could have taken care of Samar there, but instead he wants to keep her. Now, I don't even want to think about what he wants to do with her. I'm hoping it's just a typical, I'm going to get rid of the body kind of thing. I don't want to think anything worse than that. And they escape in a village dry cleaning van, which I thought was great. And I told Troy when we were watching this, the one thing to me is like when you're doing a episode of TV, whatever, or movie, that's paying a direct nod, an obvious nod to the film or property that already happened, a very notable film or property that happened. As long as you pay some kind of nod to it, I'm cool with it. Because that's the line between ripoff and homage to me. It's like, if you pay a nod to it, you're doing an homage. You respect the property. You're letting people, hey, we get it. And that's what happened here. So I really liked this episode. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I laughed out loud when I saw it. It's like, look at that, it's The Village dry cleaning. That's funny.
Now, I wonder, John wrote this for him, right? So I wonder if he's a big Village fan or if it's just the concept. Because I love the concept of it. It was just how the movie played out that I didn't like.
Well, I guess we'll have to have him on remake this movie right for an episode.
There you go. Oh, I'd love to remake that one. I would probably do it more like they did it here because, like I said, virus makes more sense to me.
Sure does.
Then these savages were going to burn a child, a kid, and they were mostly on board with that? As far as I'm concerned, lock them all up. I don't care. You can all go to jail. Couldn't he just write another option?
I suppose, but then he'd have to prove that he had a book.
Well, I mean, in his head. Couldn't he come up with something like, hey...
No! He was a terrible author. He can't write on the spot.
I'd find something. There's no way I could burn a child alive. Ugh. Anyway, that's when the FBI shows up and Aram ruins childhoods with his prequel rundown of what happened. That the Olos are good people, that New Haven is sitting on a throne of lies. And he went full Aram here. He went full field training there. I mean, he was ready to just go in there and get shot.
Or not field trained because he completely broke every single protocol in the book.
And he wasn't armed. I do want to point that out. He said he was unarmed. Unless he took his gun off before he went out there.
Well, I think he had to in order to make the case that he made, which I thought was very well acted, by the way.
I thought it was reminding me of 20 Weeks. His movie 20 Weeks. One of the changes there. He got very aggressive in that. Like, listen, stupids. You've been living.
She? Where is she? Where?
You've been living the M. Night fantasy for a long time. And I'm telling you, we're all good. Except for all the cancer and disease we have back at home. But everything, but otherwise, we're good. We're fine.
You're in the wrong movie. Come over to the superhero franchise.
Maybe they have the right idea, because there's probably a lot less disease out there. All right. And they're eating better, cleaner water. Yeah.
I haven't had all the vaccines that gave you the sicknesses in the first place.
Don't be one of those people. The earth is flat. All right. So let's move into characters. We've got some music, including one that I thought was a really, really interesting cover.
Yeah, I've never heard that one before. 500 Miles from Alejandra Rivera, at the end of the episode. And as it was starting out, I'm trying to place what the song was. And then when it finally said 500 Miles, I was like, oh, that's so good. And then when you finally got to hear the song, it was amazing. So definitely check that out. Also, we heard a good Christian tune from the hymnal, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, as heard in the bridge from Christy Carew. That's when they're burning people in the cauldron of fire.
That was a stove. I wouldn't want to cook anything on after I knew people were in it. It's like, hey, that's the people stove. We got to go find a grill.
Yeah, I just got all my chicken to do beer can chicken for the weekend. Now I can't even cook my chicken.
Now, the bigger question, and I think Blacklist should have answered it. I really feel bad that they didn't. This is a perfect opportunity to answer this question. Do they eat them? Like, Horn Room Glasses guy, do they eat him? Because, I mean, they don't have a lot of food out there. And I didn't see a lot of deer trampling through the site. So
you've watched enough of Walking Dead to understand that you do not ingest the zombie stuff because then you get sick immediately. So no, I do not ingest the infected people after they're done burning. I just get rid of the ashes.
But they wouldn't know that because they've never seen The Walking Dead because they disappeared in 1950, whatever.
Okay. So not the Living Dead was out then.
I'd eat Bob. Why not? I mean, you're hungry. You're like, hey, meat. We can boil it. We can burn it. You know, we can cleanse it that way. Disinfect it.
That was funny. Anybody up for a barbecue?
All right. So let's move into the characters. And
we should mention that you could get the song, the 500 Mile song, obviously on the Spotify playlist or over in the Apple Music playlist. Just go to theblacklistexposed.com and look for the post for Nicholas T. Moore.
Looks like we don't need to mention it. Looks like Troy did. So we got it covered. Characters. Cooper Wrestler. Don't do a whole lot. Bark some orders. That's about it. Samar. She doesn't really get to do much here except get caught. But I got a feeling next episode is going to be a whole lot of Samar.
I think so too.
Were you kind of surprised that we've got three up? Well, now we've only got two episodes left. And John wrote this one, and that we ended on a cliffhanger of Samar getting kidnapped. I mean, that to me says that the next episode is going to be very important to her safety.
I would think it's important to her safety. It's important to how Amir's character develops. I think we got a little bit of that tease in the Amir interview a few weeks ago. So yeah, I'm excited for next week. Next week's supposed to be a big episode. Big episode.
And this is next week is the one that Aram said. He's very excited about some stuff that's coming up on that one, right?
Yeah, some big stunt that he did. Said he might have even teared up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Could go a lot of ways.
Don't know.
I'm really excited. But she didn't do a whole lot this episode. So come back next week. I think you're going to get a lot more of her. Smokey comes back, leads them to Judson, who is the Ian Garvey's guy. And he's in prison. My wife didn't love his Spanish, by the way. I don't know. Something about the way he's... because she's Spanish.
It was a little off.
The way he said organization actually means organism first or something is what she told me, and I'm just like, it sounded right to me. I don't sure, but I'm just relaying what she told me, because if I don't relay it, I might get in trouble.
Smokey also doesn't seem like the kind of guy who doesn't mind offending people.
Well, I don't think she's offended. She's just like, that's not how you would say it. I'm like, well, it sounded like Spanish to me. I mean, it's better than mine.
Sounded like she was offended.
Yeah. Well, you know what? She's picky. All right. Dembe, your good friend. He doesn't get a lot to do this episode either, but he does say, Red says to him, you're a good friend who takes care of me better than I deserve. And I really, really liked that line. So I wrote it down.
Giving him his medicine, making sure he sleeps it off.
Yeah, every time they get a moment to showcase their friendship, like playing the board game, which they did again here. And what was it? Scrabble this week, right?
I didn't.
It was Scrabble because they had words. So
I didn't pay that close of attention to that one. I was watching Smokey's hand get slapped.
It was a word game of sorts. Looked like Scrabble to me. And then they had that line. So I really love that line. Now we're on to Aram. He finds a lead that leads him to a patient named Frost, which led to Dr. Werner, who was housed at the Heinrichs psychiatric facility, which is a very nice nod to Troy, one would assume.
Two on the nose.
You know what? If anybody deserves to have their own psychiatric facility, it's somebody who's freaking crazy.
That's me.
Yeah, that fits. That's just a nod to how many theories you have. Later on, which very, very cool, though. By the way, hey, you've done a lot of work on this show. I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
Did not like that. So, there.
Big surprise. Okay? Yeah, big surprise, because Amir didn't even say anything to us. And so
that feel? How does that feel?
It was cool to hear, you know, because we obviously have relationships with Amir. So, to have him say it, I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, oh, man, that's awesome.
Did you cry?
Except I had to like double back because I was literally in the middle of being in the Facebook group, talking to a few people. And I'm like, did I just hear my name? So I didn't even hear it the first time. I had to double back. How sad is that?
I didn't hear it at all. I seriously did not hear it at all. And I heard it the second time, pretty obvious, but I did not hear it the first time.
Yeah,
but I was also eating dinner and everything else, you know, while I was watching it. So
yeah, I actually texted Aaron and I was like, holy crap. And he's like, what?
There was a lot. That was not the clean version. Because it's not what you texted me.
It was not. But this is a clean podcast.
It was very cool, and I'm saying thank you on his behalf, because that was very cool.
It was cool. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Later on, after Samara is taken, it leads them to the village cult, which we already talked about, but she's not there. And then he has this great monologue where he explains the truth. And like George Lucas did, ruins childhoods. I'm going to keep saying it because it's true. And then they can't handle the truth. They just freak out. They don't know what. And then you got Thomas is shooting people in the back, his own people. I mean, this guy is not a very nice man. Aram risks his life, doesn't find her. And then his character ends the episode looking at that ring, that damn ring that he had to listen to those morons about. And now he hasn't had her apparently over to the house for a while. So he didn't get to do any Samar kissy kissy. And now he's not going to see her for a while. It's just very sad.
Yeah. I mean, put yourself in that position here. You just had a pseudo breakup and now she's kidnapped and you're like, I want to tell her everything that I needed to tell her. Now I can't cause she's not here. And you'd totally be doing what Aram is doing right now.
I wouldn't. No, I'd just be like, well, guess it's time to get a new one. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Just kidding.
That is Aaron at theblacklistexposed.com, people.
It was a joke. Probably. No, it was a joke. All right, Liz. He falls. I guess I got to get a red ring now. Liz falls for Red's scheme. She really doesn't get a lot to do this episode. And I think she probably will have a lot in the next two episodes. But she's had a lot all season. So I was kind of surprised that she got scaled back a little bit. But she gets to team up with Ruster a little bit. But they don't really get a whole lot of Mulder and Scully action or anything. Just a couple of investigative scenes. But she does fall for Red's scheme of using this case to distract her. The thing I want to bring up with that is you were kind of surprised that that happened, that that's how the case went about. Like you were kind of surprised that Liz got distracted, I guess.
Yeah, I was. I figured the purpose of him reading the paper specifically was somehow tied into how he was going to get to the bones. And then when it was a complete rope-a-dope, I was like, oh man, that's put one over on me. Good job.
I like that. I mean, I kind of thought that right off the bat, because nothing Red does is an orchestrated, it feels like. So that was something I considered, but I really didn't think that's what ultimately was going on, especially when there tended to be an actual case there. But I like the whole twist. I really like incorporating something that I'm familiar with, but making it better. I really like that. And I wish they could remake M. Night's movie now and just do this plot, because then I might enjoy it. I feel like I'm sounding bitter right now. I like the movie. Yeah, I mean, but it's cool to be wrong, Troy. I mean, you got your own psychiatric facility you can check yourself into. It's just not a good movie. I don't like the ending. Oh, boy, people are probably mad. They're probably sick of hearing me talk about it. All right, so moving on, what we get, she handles some business, but no real character progress other than she figures it out at the end and tells Red that he's not going to go to Costa Rica, which we're going to talk about more in a second. He's going to stay and help her save Samar.
I'm actually going to Costa Rica this summer.
Are you really?
Yeah. So if we don't find out what's inside that bag of bones, I'll find out for you when I'm down there.
I swear, if we don't find out, you better find out for me. It's very important. They said by the end of the season, so you got two more episodes. I have a feeling we're going to know. And I think I know what it's going to be. I have a good opinion now. Do you have a good opinion by now?
My opinion has not changed.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it in a second. Jennifer. We get to Jennifer. Now, you might have realized that we jettisoned past a few of the characters because character-wise, not a whole lot happened with them this week. Really, the biggest developments came from – it was very much a case of the week episode, but the case was really interesting, but it's very much a case of the week. We're going to get – I'm sure the next two episodes are going to be full of the serialized action that you guys like, the mythology and stuff.
But there were two big scenes, though, for these last two characters.
Yes, yeah, that's why we're there. That's why we save them the best for last this week. Jennifer, she wants answers. She wants the truth. And it's a matter of Red needs to get to Naomi because he thinks Naomi can lead her to the bones. Maybe the bones are buried with Naomi. I mean, I'll be honest, I would have kind of dug them up just to be safe, but we'll get there. So she takes answers from Red. She's like, I'll barter. First, she says she won't help him. And then she calls back, makes a change, and says, I'll take you to Naomi, my mom, if you give me straight answers. And it seems like, I just want to point out, it really seems like he's fine answering her questions. Liz has been asking him for like 5 years. And all he gets is our sides and maybes and a little bit of nuance here and there. This woman gets whatever she wants. Jennifer gets what she wants.
Because Jennifer is not his daughter.
Are you sure about that?
After this conversation in this sequence, I am absolutely positive that the Reddington we see on screen today is not Jennifer's dad. And it goes all the way back to season two when Naomi and Red were sitting across each other in Dr. Linus Creel, I believe, the Warrior Gene episode. And she literally said, I'm not going to let you near my daughter. Red never claims that Jennifer is his in any way, shape, or form. He just says he needs to find Jennifer or would like to reach out to Jennifer to make sure Jennifer's okay.
Correct.
But never, ever says that he is her father.
He doesn't do that here or there.
Correct.
Or anywhere. To be fair, he doesn't do that with Liz either, ever. I mean, he did say my daughter at one point with Alexander Kirk, right?
Yeah, the whole what's the one thing he could say to make him stop dead in his tracks from killing his one mortal enemy he's had his whole life. We've covered that in ad nauseum. Best episode of the podcast ever.
Ad nauseum. But see, I guess this is where it gets twisted, is a lot of people think that he's the real Raymond Reddington of the bones, right? That's what some people think.
Yeah, so the running theories right now are...
But hang on, I'm trying to get to my point.
Okay.
A lot of people think that the real Raymond Reddington is the person who is in that bag, the duffel bag.
That is one
theory.
And
this is the imposter. However you take the imposter, he's not the real Raymond Reddington. But it should be known that Liz was DNA tested with the real Raymond Reddington from 30 years ago's DNA, and that was a match. So that is her father. So whoever wore that DNA is her father. So how do you explain that if you hold to Raymond Reddington as the bones in the bag?
Raymond Reddington, 30 years ago, blood on the shirt, was the father of probably both Jennifer and Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth shot Raymond Reddington dead, killed her father in the fire, then, like I said, Katerina figured out that they had to hide that. And then Katerina, because Katerina felt responsible for the situation, knew that he had another family, wanted to make sure that they were safe and taken care of. She arranges it somehow that they are actually put into witness protection or a tip or something, or maybe Kaplan was even involved in it to make that happen potentially. But yeah, if the Raymond we see on screen is an imposter, potentially Katerina, potentially an uncle, potentially Sea Duke, somebody, whoever, then you can totally have the original Raymond Reddington in that bag and still be Liz's father.
But the only thing I would say to that, and a lot of people have that theory, I'm not knocking anybody, is that that doesn't explain why he so desperately has an affection for Liz. And it, based on this episode, it's only for Liz. It's not for Jennifer.
Correct.
That doesn't explain that.
Well, it explains it if you go with...
Well, it does with the Katerina option, but yes. The other options, it doesn't explain that.
Or maybe Katerina's brother, the uncle theory.
Maybe, but if that were the case, then that would mean that the Raymond Reddington's DNA was the one tested and proven to be Liz's, confirmed.
Yeah, well, if you believe the DNA off the shirt, yes.
Okay, now we don't believe that.
It is 30 years old, and there are two
Yeah, DNA doesn't change. DNA doesn't change. Right. That's a scientific fact. You can't change facts. So that's confirmed. So Raymond Reddington's DNA from that jacket is Liz Keene's. The only way that it makes sense to me that Red has that affection for Liz is if he's – and not Jennifer – is if he is actually Liz's dad, which would mean he would have to be Raymond Reddington. Now, the uncle theory has always been my theory. That's what I've always believed, is that Red Reddington is actually the uncle, and he's just trying to protect him. Now, there's a lot of different ways that could go, and it could maybe work out. Maybe Jennifer was always the stepdaughter to the real Raymond Reddington, and so he doesn't – she's just by marriage his niece or something. You know, so that uncle theory could still work if you play with it. But I don't know. I've just confused myself. I just talked myself into a corner. There's so many ways it can go.
The one thing that was interesting, though, was going back and watching that exchange between Naomi Highland and Red just before we sat down to record in the Linus Creel episode. She's sitting there saying, I did everything you asked. I kept quiet. I didn't tell anybody anything. And now you want me to bring Frank into this equation, and you want him to believe that somewhere out there that I was married to. And she doesn't say married to you, married to him. She just says married to and stops. I was like, oh, man, that plays right into the mother theory there, too, potentially.
I always say whatever you believe
is what you're seeing.
Is what you're seeing, yeah. But it proves whatever your theory is, it proves it.
But the way she stops definitely plays into the imposter theory camp. Because
yes.
Mother theory yes. would be a branch of the imposter theory. Uncle would be a branch of the imposter theory. But yes, it seemed clear in that, especially when she says Raymond Reddington is not who you think he is. We covered that line ad nauseum as well. So I think the imposter theory people are probably a tick up on the board tonight after this episode.
Yeah, well, I think it's been, I mean, they've had, imposter theory covers a whole wide variety of options. So, I mean, it's not, there's not just one particular theory in the imposter camp. So there's a whole different, there's a batch of ways it can go.
Yes.
Batch of ways it can go. All right, so let's get to what at the end. She never thinks to ask if Red is actually her father, of course. You know. Why? What? By the same token, why would you? She's believed that her whole life. I actually, because I've seen people talk about that in the Facebook group, why wouldn't she ask that? To be fair, if I was in her shoes, I wouldn't ask it. I just assume he was, because he's the guy everything's based around. He shows up, everything goes to hell. Yeah, he must be my dad. So it works for me.
That's how I would take it, absolutely.
Yeah. So that one, you know, that one totally makes sense to me. So that leads to Red to Naomi's grave. She's dead, killed by gunmen, shot twice coming out of her apartment. Real or fake death?
Real death.
Yeah, I'm going with face value on that one, too. I think real death.
Because I went back again to that Linus Creel episode, and she was saying, I'm never going to tell you where my daughter is. And then when her and Frank got married, they technically actually lost contact with each other. Mm-hmm. So what was said in the Linus Creel episode does equate to this episode where Jennifer said that her and her mom hadn't actually been in contact, and it actually took her a while to find out that she had been shot. So I think that the two stories match. Yeah, they They knew of each other. They were put in separate witness protection programs. They didn't communicate with each other. And because of that, all the saving that this Raymond Reddington tried to do ended up not saving anybody at all in the end.
Yeah. It was very prolific in many ways. And sad outcome, but I do think it's a real death. I'm trying very, very hard to just take most things, except for the central mystery, at face value. So to me, I see no indication, and they've already done several fake deaths. I don't think they're going to do that with that character. It's probably just a matter of, well, it's going to be hard to get the actress back. So
right.
we'll just go ahead and ask her. It's easier to answer that way. Plus, it adds to the fact that anyone that's involved with Raymond ends up dead.
Correct.
You know, or in danger.
It gives that heavier weight to the situation. Like, when is this chaos and destruction going to end finally? I think it ends when he finally says, here's the whole story.
Okay. So, well, speaking to that, before they part ways, she says, can I ask you one more thing? And she asks if he promises to never bother her again. Now, I personally think Jennifer's not quite done with this scenario, because I think they will definitively answer the question if he is for sure her dad or not. And, you know, they may feel like they already have, but I don't feel like it was definitive. And I think Liz has got to have another moment with her sister probably before that goes under the carpet. What do you think?
I would hope so. Yeah. Just for Liz and Jennifer's sake and that relationship. They just met each other and you're going to write her off the show this quick? No, I don't think that's possible. You got to have them at least have one more battle in the finale.
So do you think the fact that he was so quick to say yes proves that he's not her dad?
That's how I would take it. Like, fine, you don't want to see me. Clearly, I had no affection for you anyway. Yeah. I mean, if it's truly your kid, even though you would respect their wishes, you still wouldn't stay out of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You could say you might have been watching afar for almost 30 years.
And he's... huh? There you go. Interesting.
Wasn't doing that for Jennifer.
Nope, he sure wasn't. Well, he didn't know where she was.
Yeah, true.
So she was in Woodside.
Could have found out. He found Carla.
Possibly. All right, moving on to Red. Finds Judson at the prison, gives Ronnie a car, gets an earpiece to Ronnie.
Loved it.
And then who gives it to Judson? And then we find out the bag went to Costa Rica. You like that whole work in the system to get that earpiece to him?
Absolutely.
Because of the car?
Yeah, it would have been cooler if he had to like dig, you know, crawl through a hole and then there was a Rita Hayworth poster on the other side. That would have been funny too.
A little too on the nose maybe with that one. Little dude. Red just pops up out of the sewer. I got your earpiece. Arms outstretched. I got your earpiece. Or Dembe does. Maybe Dembe does it. He sends Dembe into prison.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's probably.
But it was cool. I like the car. Car was nice. Nice touch.
Yeah, sweet ride. Sweet ride. Like you said, he never says she's my daughter. Not once. Only says your father.
Written so, specifically in that regard.
Yeah. Well, at this point, it's how he speaks.
Right.
To be fair, at this point, it's how he speaks. And here are some other things that he says when he was talking to Jennifer. Says he was perfect. It was a perfectly plausible narrative that was created by the cabal. So he's saying that, and he does say your father. So it doesn't necessarily mean this is his. I mean, we assume if you take it at face value, he's talking about himself. But it's written in such a way and spoken in such a way that it could be referring to someone else.
And especially when he says the words, you weren't abandoned, is in my head. I'm like, yeah, because your dad was actually killed.
It says you were protected. You weren't abandoned. You were protected. And then points out that this is an interesting choice of words. 1990, KGB and the CIA hunted down one individual. Not me. The one individual.
Right.
Like I'm saying, I mean, I know it's maybe crazy that we're dissecting words, but I think it's important because if I were making that scenario and it was about myself, I would say me, even if I was Katerina.
Because even if I was Katerina and it was about me, I'm not going to give that away because that's my only leverage. So I'm going to say they hunted down the one person and that one person was me. You could still say it that way too. You just don't give out the me part. He could still be referring to himself.
It's interesting how you disproved my theory that everybody hears what they want to hear that supports their theory.
I've never said that you were wrong about that. But the way it's written could apply You know, that they hunted down the one person, and that one person is me. That part of the phrase is left off.
Could be, but me personally, I'm saying that line. I would say me if I was referring to myself.
It was kind of like, it was kind of like that whole conversation going back to the Wagoneer, like my dad's car versus dad's car. Mm. You know, if you're talking to somebody you know, you say, "Hey, dad's car." But if you're talking to somebody you don't know, then you say, "My dad's car."
True.
So words are important in the show.
Always. A fugitive from law enforcement is easier than being a target with a family. Being abandoned on the side of the road on Christmas Eve. So acknowledges everything. So whoever you think he is, he's very familiar. He knows that scenario back to front.
Right.
He's involved with what happened on Christmas Eve. Because a lot of people have debated that. So I really feel like they're starting to lean us towards some big answer. You agree or disagree?
Well, we asked everybody if it was time. So yes.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the writers agree. So that's why I'm asking you. Do you think we're being led toward a big revelation?
I absolutely believe there's something major for the finale. Major. It's 5 seasons. You got to give something up at this point. Gotcha.
Well, we had that discussion last week.
Yeah.
And like I always say, I don't have a problem if they're not having 5 people in a room and, you know, nobody asked the right question. That's when like last week was
frustrating. That problem. Yes.
Yeah, I don't have it this week.
No, this week is good. Like the episode. Yeah,
I liked last week's episode. It was the last 5 minutes. So this is really good, but kind of surprising, I'll be honest with you, because I really thought this was going to amp up some things, and outside of some marketing kidnap, which, you know, was really wasn't a heightened portion of the story until the very end. So to me, that really wasn't the driving force of this episode. So years past, we've had seasons where you get down to those final 4 and each episode builds and builds and builds to the final payoff with like a big bad or something along those lines. We don't have that this season. The big bad's gone now, right?
Right. We have the big bad in the current situation, the big bad that had the bag of bones. Doesn't mean there isn't a bigger bad from the past that is now in search of those bones because they're out in the wild.
Right, but typically that's not the way it's played out in previous seasons. It's always been whoever the big bad was, we deal with until the end of the season.
I wouldn't say that because we were in season 3, Scotty Hargrave was the big bad, and then everything kind of like even keeled with her, and then it ended up being Alexander Kirk was the big bad by the end of the season.
Right. The final episodes were all about Alexander Kirk. That's what I'm saying. Like Garvey was taken out 3 episodes before we're over. That's a surprise to me. It makes me really wonder, where are we going with this? I mean, especially with, you got 2 episodes left, and it seems, I mean, we're still early, obviously, it's not until next week. It seems that Samar is going to be the pivotal focus of that episode. How are those things going to tie into, I mean, what are they building to? I'm really curious, because it feels like this is probably the one season so far where I have no idea where they're going with this. Other than the bag of bones, I have no idea where they're going with this.
Well, it's probably going to be, if I had to speculate on next week's episode, like most of the time you have like an A story and a B story going on, right? You have whatever.
Yeah, but I thought she'd be saved this episode. I really did. I thought she'd be saved by the end of the episode.
No, I had a feeling that there was something more disastrous for the way Amir said it in the interview. Like I knew that Samara was a focal point of 521. Like, and then seeing how she gets kidnapped in this episode, I had a feeling that they weren't going to find her and that it was going to carry over. But now the question becomes, does Red actually help out? Or does Red say, hey, that's not my problem. You can deal with that. And just completely like, you know, Heisman's Liz and says, get off my plane. And then around
completely what?
Heisman, you know, whoosh, hand out, say, whoop, nope, not my problem. Get out of here.
That was a random line. Okay.
That's what we do. Whenever someone says, hey, can you do this for me? And you're like, psh, nope, Heisman pros.
Lord. All right. Right over my head. Right over there. All right, continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so no, that's what I think it is. I think it's 2 stories next week. Red continues on his Costa Rica excursion, or maybe Red helps them and sends everybody else to Costa Rica. But there'll be a Costa Rica portion to keep the drive towards the finale, and then there'll be this Samar side storyline. So you let the action, you know, transition back and forth.
Yeah, I'm really excited about where it's going. But I don't have a Kaplan. I don't have a Kirk. I don't have a, who was it?
Because when Tommy, you figure out who Tommy, it is, it'll probably be a Hang big on. Reveal. Well,
Tommy Connolly. Don't have Tommy Connolly. And then Berlin. You know what I mean? Like, Every season so far has had like that big bad that we're building up to, and we don't have that. So I'm really, Bag of Bones doesn't really feel like a threat to me.
It feels like a threat to me because if you don't get an answer, you're not coming back next season.
Yeah. I mean, it could be. Yeah. I think we're getting, John Bokenkamp said that we were getting one. So I have faith. Every season finale has owned up to the promise of the season. So I don't have doubts about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't have doubts about that. I think they're gearing up for a fun final ride.
Yeah, I think every season finale, there's always been something where it was pick your job off the floor.
Yep.
Yeah, Liz shooting Connelly, Berlin cut off the other hand. What was season three? Liz, I'm your father. What? Season four, no. Kaplan jumps off the bridge.
No, she's my daughter.
No, Kirk says at the end of season.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Like, that's right. You're right.
This mysterious man kidnaps her and, hey, I'm your father. What?
Yep.
Yeah. So something big is going to happen. And this time, I don't know if our jaw will come off the floor. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, I mean, if they say Raymond Reddington under the bones, that's going to at least knock that one out.
Gosh, right? That'd be so nice.
that would knock that one out. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, you don't have to confirm the mother theory or anything like that. Just confirm Raymond Reddington is in the bag.
And we don't know that Liz is going to find out for sure who are in the
bag. I don't care if Liz finds out. The audience
as long as we do. As long as we do. I can foresee Red getting the bones, getting away from Liz. She doesn't get to find anything out. And then that report shows up that Tom ordered that was under her name, which, you know, and somebody finds that report, Aram finds it, and that puts him at risk or something. I could see something like that.
Did I tell you what I wanted the finale of the season to be? Mm-mm. That, like you said, that report shows up and Reddington literally has the bones. Like somehow Liz gets the bones ahead of Reddington. Because it feels like they're going to be like going against each other in the finale would be my thought. And so my end scene was going to be Liz has the bag of bones. She gets the report from Tom because it was run under her badge.
Yeah, so she should be able to pull it up.
She should be able to get an email or something, right? Slack notification. I don't know. Anything.
It's probably in her. She pulls up her spam folder.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Like, it was there the whole time.
And then she's looking through and she's like, wait, this is Raymond Reddington. And Red barges in and it's like, this is Raymond Reddington. And he's like, because that is Raymond Reddington. And then she says, who are you? Cut to black.
I could see that playing out.
That'd be cool.
I don't think it will play out, but I could see it playing out. Sure.
Or it could say, who are you? And he says, I'm your mother. Then cut to black. That'd be awesome too.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go watch Psycho. So it's... We're not done with the show. We got a little bit left, so we'll be right back with Red's Rhetoric right after this.
There's something really strange about the town called Castle Rock.
And this summer, J.J. Abrams and Hulu are bringing some of Stephen King's Castle Rock stories to life. Or to death.
Join us, Jeff Gentry and Wayne Henderson, on the Castle Rock Show podcast. As we share your thoughts about each episode of Hulu's Castle Rock.
Listen and subscribe to the podcast and be part of the fun at CastleRockShow.com. Part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network.
Hi, it's Megan Boone, and you're listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Welcome to Red's Rhetoric, that part of the show where we play two scenes from this week's episode of The Blacklist, and then you get to vote which one is your favorite in our poll on the website. Just go to theblacklistexposed.com and look for the episode for Nicholas T. Moore. This week's first clip comes when Red and Jennifer have tea.
You said you had some questions.
How does this happen? How do you close a restaurant down in the middle of the day? How can you be so calm when you're on the FBI's most wanted list?
Please, would you like coffee or tea? Something to eat?
No, thank you. Just answers.
You haven't asked any real questions yet. You've expressed curiosity about the tricks of my trade. Pedestrian form of leisure demand mastered by any number of experienced outlaws. That's not why you're here.
No. Okay, here's a question. Why am I here?
You want to know why your father abandoned you.
I'll have tea.
So you're saying you were framed?
I'm saying a perfectly plausible narrative was created.
By some shadow government called the Cabal.
Secret societies exist. The Cabal, the Trilateral Commission, private organizations that harness powerful forces to tip the scales in their favor. Military engagements, UN interventions, treaties. The Cabal is the one I stumbled across and tried to destroy. To prevent that, they tried to destroy me.
How does you getting targeted by a scary group of people who think they rule the world explain why you abandoned us?
You weren't abandoned. You were protected.
Right. So, you forget my ground rules, which is I take you to Naomi in exchange for honest answers.
In 1990, the KGB and the CIA had almost nothing in common except the mutual determination to hunt down one individual.
You.
Being a fugitive from American law enforcement is a lot easier than being a fugitive from the two most powerful nations on Earth. And anyone close to a target of theirs becomes a target themselves.
Family.
Especially family. Unless they're abandoned on the side of a road on Christmas Eve.
After you left, we went into witness protection.
Put where the Cabal wouldn't find you.
Or my father.
An effective, albeit excruciatingly painful solution.
Effective.
You survived, as did your mother, to whom I hope you are now willing to take me.
Our second clip comes when Red is finally taken to Naomi.
This cannot be right.
See for yourself.
What happened?
You did.
How?
She was shot twice coming out of her apartment. No one knows why. I thought maybe you did.
No.
You didn't abandon us to protect us. You just abandoned us. And you know how I know that? Because I know what it's like to have somebody love me so much they would rather cut ties than see me hurt. My mom did that. And not by slinking out in the middle of the night, by sitting me down when I was in college and patiently explaining how terrified she was of you. That one day you'd want back into my life. You'd force her to tell you where I was. To protect me from that, from you, she walked out of my life. I didn't even know she was dead until she'd been gone nearly a year.
I'm sorry.
Her husband finally tracked me down. Told me some enemy of yours once kidnapped her. Cut off her finger? Is that your idea of protection?
No, it's not. Wasn't nearly enough.
An honest answer at last. And I hope you give me one more to my final question. Will you please never contact me again?
Yes.
If you would rather be hunted by one country's law enforcement, vote hashtag red protection. Or if you finally got an answer you wanted, vote hashtag red honesty.
Okay, now we're going to Special Agent Intel, Sharon Crady. Okay, I think Katerina's alive. Maybe she and Red had a deal that Katerina would leave his family alone as long as he kept her secret. After Mr. Kaplan dug up the bones, she decided to punish Red by killing Naomi. So the question now is Jennifer safe?
That's a good one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that. So Kaplan dug up the bones. Katerina now takes out Naomi. And there's an all-out war potentially coming between the two of them.
That would be kind of a cool twist.
It would be a cool twist. I'd be okay. I would give up my theory for that twist. That's kind of cool. I like that.
I hate to tell you, Troy, but you're going to have to give up your theory if you're wrong regardless.
I sure am.
At some point, they will decide. They will tell you for sure. And you can't cling. You can't find a way. I know you hate to be wrong. You can't find a way to make it fit, even if they tell you that's not correct. I mean, they could literally put it in the captions. This is, your theory is wrong, Troy. And Troy would still be like, I don't know. If you do this and you look at it from, you know, when the sun's in your eyes, it could be Katarina.
And now we know why we have an insane asylum tied to my name. Wendy Davis said, I love The Village Meets the Blacklist this week. Aram's approach to taking down the guy with the gun was adorable. Guess that Red had set up Liz to keep her busy whilst he set off on his mission for the bones. So is Carla Naomi really 6 feet under, or has she, like her possible stepdaughter, faked her own death? I assumed Red knew where Naomi and her husband went, unless she got herself relocated. I smell a rat. It's too easy, so easy for it to be probable. Liz and Jennifer may have plotted this themselves. Who knows? Good. That's a good thought. Poor Ram, I got a horrible feeling about this, and I'm not predicting she'll die, but perhaps leave the task force. It was a good episode, but like I said, it had shades of The Village, so it felt familiar, and so no surprises there. There was something off with the conversation between Red and Jennifer. Perhaps the rewatch will switch the light bulb on.
I just want to let you know, Wendy, it's better than The Village. Just to, in case you totally forgot the movie The Village, it's better. So you're good. Kira Adler, sorry to say, Aaron, I don't think we're going to get answers on them bones while Samara's missing. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's true. We'll find, I'm sure it won't be until the season finale we get anything. My current bet is Katarina is in the bag. She's been dead since around when Liz was sent to Sam, and the same people Dom said stepped out of Liz's life to protect her also covered up Katarina's death. If Katarina were still out there as a boogeyman, people would chase the myth, not Liz. Also, like I said, when we first got a look at the bones, that person either didn't die easy or was not professionally dismembered. There's a lot of trauma to those bones. Wow.
Like maybe they were burned in a fire. Potentially.
God. You get so many potentialies.
Annalise Olivia. So Naomi is dead. How did Red's enemies find her and why kill her? Mm. Red and Naomi made a bargain about Naomi not saying anything about Red and Liz. What was the bargain? Not mentioned tonight, so no clue. Red is talking in riddles again, and his choice of words makes me go, Because she had two emojis there.
I like this from Douglas Baumgartner. Correct me if I'm mistaken, but Red never confirmed he was Jennifer's father. With what he said to her, every theory is still in play. Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Every theory, which is why we said, is it time to, you know, confirm this relationship once and for all?
Yep.
James Lale said, if I understand things correctly, Red went criminal on that Christmas Eve to protect himself and his family from the CIA KGB by getting law enforcement involved. The idea being the spies would back off for fear of exposure. I'm not sure the covert types would really back off in that circumstance.
I mean,
so he's saying like, it's a good story, but I don't buy it.
It'd be a tough sell, but I could see it. If he abandoned his family, he fled. I think they'd still use the family as, you know, a bartering tool, but I don't know. I mean, I can kind of see both sides of that one. I can let it slide. It's TV logic. I can let it slide.
All right.
Crystal Neville, why do people always want Red to say to someone, before I tell you anything, let's be clear, I am your father. It's not Darth Vader. Based on everything we know, it's clear that was Jennifer. Naomi and Reddington's daughter. We're in season 5, people. We are getting answers, and not everyone is someone else. I like her.
But,
she's blunt.
But you go back to that Linus Creel episode, and you don't get like confirmation that it was his daughter. She says, it's my daughter. And she says, I was married to, doesn't say you. She says nothing. So I don't know if it's clear. You can infer a lot and take it at face value, but I don't know if it's clear.
Okay. Well, it could definitely be Reddington's daughter, and Reddington's in the bag.
That's true. That works too.
It does work. We don't even know if there will be a 6 or 7 season. The writers are trying to wrap up some loose ends. I'm okay with that. I'm pretty sure you're getting 6 no matter what. That's my theory. That's my theory.
That's my theory, putting it out there.
I really think if we weren't getting one, we would have heard that by now.
God, so, I would hope so.
Yeah. But otherwise, we got two episodes left. That's a lot to wrap up a whole show. So I'm pretty sure we're safe. You're coming back. Secondly, this kind of confirmed for me a theory I had that Red really didn't want to find his family. He wanted to continue to keep him safe. And by doing so, not only did he have to stay away, but he had to eliminate anybody who knew of or had any information that pertained to their whereabouts. I was always confused why he shot Diane Fowler all those years ago when she knew the truth of that night and what happened to his family. If he wanted the answers, he would have gotten them from her then, but instead he killed her. I think he killed Diane because she did know the truth and where they were. As for contacting Liz instead of staying away, that's what the show is about. Liz is the key. Liz needs to go back into hiding until the cabals of the world are dismantled. Just a thought.
He only came in because Tom screwed everything up.
Yep, and I think we only have two more, so.
Yeah, Heather Tidrow Patterson said, I don't believe that Red wouldn't have received some threat or word that Naomi was in danger or had been killed. And I believe Naomi's husband would have tried to contact Reddington and blame him. And for the way Jennifer made it sound, Frank is still alive. So is he the big bad? Ooh. Frank Hyland. Could Frank Hyland be the mysterious final blacklister of the season?
Wasn't he a bit mousy?
Seemed a little mousy. And
bad guy.
Yeah, Red already confronted him in the middle of the woods and said, you are not going back to Philadelphia.
It's like he's Kaiser Soze. I mean, we think he's all meek and actually he's a supervillain.
Yeah, maybe.
Can I reference Kaiser Soze? I don't know what the rules are because, you know, the actor and everything.
Yeah.
All right. So Monica Stolfa. Lastly, at least our Red has cleared up that it was the cabal who framed him and why he abandoned his family. Naomi's death was a shocker, but I'm still holding my doubts. Assuming Naomi died and we were talking to the real Jennifer, I'm afraid her death, hiring Garvey to fetch the bones, Oleander being Dom, and Samar's abduction are not coincidences. For the moment, I'll hang on to the theory that the bones are Katarina's and our Red is the real Red. Regardless of the bones' identity, after hearing about the death of Red's ex-wife and the kidnapping of Samar, tells me his enemy is conducting a scorched earth policy.
Choo-choo. Oh, okay. We had one more comment. Nate Trujillo said, tonight's episode was a doozy and a half. The Blacklister was dark and creepy, and that I couldn't stomach what he was doing to people. Did anyone notice the newspaper that Red used to get Liz's attention to the case? The date was May 2nd, 2019. Either we're dealing with time travel, or the showrunners are letting us know that a year has passed since Tom's death, which I think we're all aware of because it was a 10-month coma. I added that part. This episode had so many shocks that I'm still trying to absorb them. Samar's abduction, Red's retelling of abandoning his family on Christmas Eve, the revelation that Naomi is dead. I'm going to sit on the floor from now on because I always get flabbergasted every single week. Great job, Amir, as you and your character Aram went to the task to find Samar. I hope Red does the right thing and helps to find her. As for the bones, why would Garvey choose Costa Rica of all places? I guess we'll have to find out next week. Hashtag find Samar.
And a shout out to James Steen. We got your email and we haven't had a chance to look over yet because we're kind of recording this right after the show aired. But just wanted to let you know that we did get it and we appreciate it. And lots of notes in there. Lots of info. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll break it down and see if we can pull a nugget out for next week.
There you go. All right. Well, I think, man, that's going to do it. We got two episodes left. Are you ready?
Two go. I'm buckled in, strapped up, and ready to ride.
So now that there's a Heinrichs psychiatric center, do you feel differently than about how harsh you were last week? Because now I feel bad for you.
No, I think it was a fair criticism. Kidding. It was a fair criticism.
It sure was.
I might have actually committed myself to my own facility after last week.
I don't know. You know what? If anybody deserves to be committed, Troy, it's you.
It absolutely is.
Absolutely.
Until it turns out to be right, and then I'll be like, you're all coming into my game now.
You do realize the odds of it being true, your Red as Katarina thing, are about a bazillion to one, right?
Yep. And that's why when it pays off, it'll be huge. Jackpot.
You're going to seem so smart, huh? What about when you're proven wrong? Are you going to be able to own up to it?
Oh, if I'm wrong, I'll totally own up to it. But there's still enough in the show to actually make it plausible.
No, I'm telling you, it's like a screen door. But you seem to think so. So that's cool. All right. Well, we'll find out. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to the day where I hear you say I'm wrong. I'm so excited. All right, well, that's going to conclude this episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TheBlacklistGSM, where we live tweet during the East Coast feed, and we use the show's hashtag, TheBlacklist.
Don't forget to follow us on Tumblr, Instagram, and join the Facebook group. Just search for The Blacklist Exposed. Talk about the show, the podcast, or your favorite crappy author.
You can also subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast player of choice. Might be on Spotify by now. You'll have to check and see if it's updating correctly. I think we have that worked out with Spotify, so keep an eye on that. You can even listen from the website. But if you're really on the go, make sure you download our app for iOS and Android, powered by Spreaker. You also find all the intel and analysis about this episode for Nicholas T. Moore by visiting theblacklistexposed.com. Big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. Would you want to be committed to Heinrichs Hospital? Really? Is that a place you'd want to visit? Because I've been there. It's crazy.
And he's going to be there for a whole other season, hopefully.
We'll see if we get some answers. All right. Just kidding. Just kidding. No, I'm not. All right. That's going to wrap it up for this week. We can't wait to see what we come up with for the next couple of weeks. I'm really excited. I think we're going to get some fun stuff. They never, ever have failed to get us pumped as we left this season. So I am really excited for the final, too.
All right. Rest up. We're going to need it. We'll see you next week.
And the village sucks.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5Popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of the blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.